This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. A little bit later in our program, it's part two of our series looking at 100 years of flight. But first, energy is on the agenda in Congress this week. We're going to be talking about NASA and the Board of Investigation that also was on the agenda in Congress. The Board of Investigators are looking into the loss of the Space Shuttle Columbia, where they released their final report about what went wrong last February 1st, and their findings didn't pull many punches. While they did discuss the physical causes that most likely destroyed the space shuttle, damage from a falling chunk of foam that followed the heat of reentry to penetrate the shuttle's protective tiles, they also spent a good deal of time looking at deeper causes for the accident. The organizational causes of this accident are rooted in the space shuttle program's history and culture, said the report, which pointed to cultural traits and organizational practices detrimental to safety. The report also criticized compromises made in the initial construction of the shuttle, changing priorities at the agency, and the lack of a national vision for human spaceflight. So, where does the space agency go from here? What do you think? Has NASA lost its way, lost its will, lost its vision, lost its funding? If you'd like to join us, give us a call. Our number is 1-800-989-8255. 1-800-989-TALK. Joining me now is John Logsdon. He is a member of the panel that wrote that report and is director of the Space Policy Institute at George Washington University's Elliott School of International Affairs in Washington. He joins us from his office there. Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Ira.
Do we have to start from over, do you think, NASA? I mean, is it things are you the report was very critical of the NASA think, if I might say, the way that NASA thinks about doing business. Is it that bad?
Well, I mean, NASA's a unique repository of talent, so you really wouldn't want to start over. It has fallen into some bad habits that are internal to the organization and also reacting to the context in which it's been operating. And the board's report is calling for pretty substantial changes, both internally and externally.
Mm-hmm. And how much of it was the decrease in funding? NASA's been losing funding over the years. Is that could you if you had to put one point on it that the funding was the key issue here?
No, I don't think so. It was one of the issues. NASA overall has had its purchasing power go down a little over 10% in the past decade because neither the Clinton nor this Bush administration was very interested in putting money into NASA. But the Space Shuttle program, as NASA's largest program, had its budget reduced 40% as a way of saving money from shuttle costs so that they could be spent on other purposes. And we're pretty critical of that trade-off.
Mm-hmm. What about the lack of clear vision about what we should do with the space, with the manned space, the human space program?
Well, that's not NASA's fault. NASA's an implementing agency. It's up to the national leadership, reflecting the will of the American people, to finally face up to the question of are we serious about carrying out a comprehensive space program and one that includes a significant human presence. That issue has really never been addressed, I would argue, since May 25th, 1961, when President Kennedy sent us to the moon. Once we did that, we've been kind of living on momentum and institutional inertia rather than pursuing broad goals that are agreed upon.
So where do you think we should all be heading now? What priorities, what should we be thinking about? I mean, is the shuttle ready to be, returned to flight? There's going to be a news conference on Monday from NASA talking about when the next shuttle launch will be.
Well, they're not going to say when it will be. They will say what's going to have to happen for it to be returned to flight. The board has set out a series of, I think, 14 or 15 return-to-flight recommendations. It's our view, and NASA has said that they're going to take the board's view very seriously, that these things have to be done before the shuttle is cleared to resume flight. None of them are showstoppers, we think. I mean, none of them are going to ground the fleet for the 30 months that happened after Challenger. So sometime next year, I believe the shuttle will start flying again. And what we've said is we've got to use it, we've got to finish the space station, but we should also replace it as soon as possible as the primary means for getting people to and from space.
Mm-hmm. Getting back to the NASA cultural problems, you know, you talk to people, I've talked to people at NASA, old engineers who've been there for a while, and you find out that so many of them are not around anymore. People who were been in NASA who've been either retired because from the beginning of the space program, who were laid off or riffed during the cuts in budgets, and they say to you, you know, whatever happened to that Gene Kranz, you know, belief that option failure is not an option?
Well, it's a different organization. I think that the organization is full of dedicated people doing most of the time the very best they can. But again, the shuttle workforce, and really all we looked at on the board was the shuttle. The workforce was cut by 40% during the 90s. A lot of experience was lost in that process. We didn't find any big problems in turning over shuttle operations to a private contractor, but we did find some problems with NASA turning over responsibilities to that contractor that we thought should have been NASA's.
Mm-hmm. Where do you think the debate should be centered? Now, who should be part of the debate about the future of humans in space?
All of us, to start out with, since it's our money that's paying for it. I mean, the board was asked by the Congress as it began its deliberations not to carry out that debate. It was well beyond our mandate and our competence, but rather to frame the debate for the national policy process, and we hope we've done that. So I think it's really up to the White House and up to the Congress to ask the kind of questions of why are we putting humans in space? Why are we paying the cost? Why are we taking the risks? Is it worth the candle? I think it is. One of the things that's interesting is that of the 13 members of the board, 9 of them had very little previous exposure to NASA before they started their work on the investigation. All 13 of us signed up to the proposition that the nation should continue human spaceflight.
And where should we go in human spaceflight?
Somewhere. Not just in circles.
take off your board hat for a moment. Well, put on your other policy hat you used to wear and still wear so nicely.
Well, yeah, I'm back in my day job as a university professor now.
Let's hear the professor now speaking instead of the politician.
It does seem to me that the first thing we should do is finish the space station and use it. We've had this hypothesis for years that humans doing research in a well-equipped space laboratory can do high-quality research. We need to find out whether that's true or not. I don't think it's been proven either direction, although the traditional space scientists are very skeptical, but you'll find plenty of material scientists, life scientists, who are eager to get to work on the station. So the first thing I think we need to do is finish the station, and we need shuttle to do that. Then do we go to...
Let me stop you there for a second. Why finish the station? If it soaks up a lot of money, and there are a lot of scientists since the shuttle disaster have come out to say, I told you, there's really no reason to have science on the space station. We could do it without it. And you know, a lot of good science doesn't need to happen there.
Well...
Is it a white elephant? You know why?
Well,
why
I don't
throw money at it.
I don't think so. There's nothing different about the science on the station now than before the accident.
Right.
Either it was worth doing before February 1st, or it wasn't. The fact that we lost a crew doing precisely the kind of research in preparation for the station, I think, should reinforce the determination to use it, not to give it up.
Mm-hmm. All right, and then after the space station, what next?
Somewhere.
Mars, Moon?
Well, there's a third set of destinations of the so-called libration points, L2 points, which are equal gravity points out in free space that a lot of people think would be good staging bases for whatever else you wanted to do. whether going back to the moon as the initial step makes sense. The moon is close to Mars. Even this month, Mars is still far away. So we don't really know how to go to Mars. And one of the real needs for research on the station is the research on long-duration human spaceflight.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to the phones, 1-800-989-8255. Mike in Cleveland. Hi, Mike.
Good afternoon.
Hi there.
I'd like to come back to the comments that you had about the culture at NASA and the need to change it. And specifically, I want to ask what the report said in recommendations on how to change the culture. I ask, given that most of the research says that it takes 7 years to change the culture of an organization if you're trying to change it deliberately.
Well, good point. What we say is that the kind of organizational recommendations that we have made are a step towards cultural change. But you can't organize cultural change. You have to lead cultural change. So we're calling upon the leaders of NASA to take the kind of hard position of changing the values of the organization, the way it does business. And we are very explicit in the report that this is not going to happen overnight. The 7-year time frame is a reasonable time frame.
What is the greatest part of the culture that needs changing?
I think the kind of arrogance and introspection. We identify lots of external advice to NASA that pointed out precisely the kind of problems that we discovered, most of which has been pretty effectively ignored. The organization, and we're really talking only about the human spaceflight part of NASA, thought it was a unique repository of knowledge on how to do this and didn't need any help from outside.
Mm-hmm. Let me bring on another guest. Joining me now is Congressman Sherwood Bollert. He's chair of the House Committee on Science, Republican from New York's 24th District. Welcome back to the program, Congressman.
It's always good to be back with you.
Now, your committee heard testimony yesterday from the head of the Investigations Board, Admiral Gaiman. What do you think? Where should we go with the space program now?
Well, I'll tell you, there's short-term, mid-term, and long-term. But short-term, every single one of the Gaiman Commission recommendations for return to flight must be adhered to. On Monday, September 8th, the administrator is going to reveal the plan for return to flight, and we'll see how they are adhering to the recommendations of the Gaiman Commission. But I'm going to insist that they follow every single one of those recommendations before return to flight. Midterm, continuing to fly, as the report says, there are a lot of changes that have to be made organizationally to make sure that we go back to the once great days of NASA. These are sort of dark days, but I think we can get back to where we were if there are some changes that have to be made, and I think the Gaiman Commission is to be applauded. They've done an outstanding public service. And then long term, we have to develop as a nation a vision for the future of human spaceflight. We've got to have the administration, the executive branch, the Congress, the legislative branch. We've got to be working in partnership, not at odds. So a lot will be dependent upon the president's leadership and the direction he wants to lead us. And we will obviously be consulted every step of the way. But in the final analysis, I'm convinced that we know what went wrong, we know how to fix it, and then we have to go forward. But it's more than just a technical fix. There has to be cultural change.
All right, Congressman, thank you very much. I know you're busy and you're taking time to talk with us. Thank you very much for your opinions, and we'll look forward to what we hear on Monday.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. That was Congressman Bollert from New York, Sherwood Bollert, who is on a House committee, a powerful House committee, that House Committee on Science, and he's very interested in keeping an eye on what's being said on Monday by the head of NASA. We will watch that also. We're going to take a short break and come back and talk lots more with John Logsdon and take your calls, so stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm Ira Flatow, and this is Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. Welcome back to Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. We're talking this now about the future of space travel, waiting to see what NASA is going to say on Monday about carrying out the recommendations of the committee. And I have with me one of those committee members who is part of those recommendations, and he's John Logsdon, who has many hats on. He's a Elliott School of International Affairs at George Washington University. He's director of the Space Policy Institute there. And John, are you? Do you know what NASA's going to say already?
No. I mean, NASA has been working in parallel with the board in developing its plan for return to flight. And what they've said to us is that they're going to take every one of our recommendations and go beyond them in developing their plans for bringing the shuttle back into service. So I'm as interested as everyone else in hearing what they have to say.
Could you expect from a president in this, well, the political season beginning, a Kennedy-like clarion call for some fantastic space mission, given the expenses we just heard about in Iraq that's going to be expected of Congress, and you know, the budget deficit, things like that?
You know, that's going to be tough, but you, there are two things maybe to comment. One is that there's a family heritage. President Bush's father, George H.W. Bush, people forget this, but on July the 20th, 1989, 20th anniversary of the first lunar landing, he called for a sustained commitment to human exploration of the solar system, finishing space station, back to the moon to stay, and then on to Mars. The country wasn't ready for it then. I'm not sure it's ready for it now. But and the second is that there was an intriguing news report in the past week that the White House is beginning a kind of focused effort of thinking about a new strategy for human space exploration, and with the aim of having that ready in 4 to 6 months for the president. And I think all of us are interested in what that's all about.
You know, the of course, you remember that the original space race of the 60s was a political race with the Soviet Union. The fact that we hear more from China and other countries that they're planning their own manned human space race, to get into it with us, possibly?
Well,
would that spur anybody on?
I don't think it should. Kennedy, President Kennedy in 61, asked his advisors to find him a dramatic space program in which the United States could win. And he did that for totally political reasons as part of Cold War competition. There's no question the president could ask nowadays to which the answer is go to Mars. So it has to be done on its own merits. And I think it'll be done collaboratively, like the space station is being done as an international partnership. That's what the public, through its representatives, has to decide. Given all the demands on the federal budget, do we want a sustained long-term, doesn't have to be a lot of money year by year, but a sustained long-term commitment to excellence in human spaceflight?
And this would be a good time to start that debate in this political season.
Well, unfortunately, we react as a country to stimuli, and some of those are negative stimuli, like the accident and the loss of seven lives. So, yes, it's an occasion for reflection and hopefully action.
Mm-hmm. Let me see if I can get a quick phone call in here before we have to go. Let's go to Audrey in Corvallis, Oregon. Hi, Audrey.
Hi. The comment that the member there just made is perfect lead-in for what I was going to say. I just had three comments. Two of them are real quick. One of them is, you know, just irregardless of why we go to space, it just seems like something we have to do for, you know, just a bunch of reasons. So that's out of the way. Secondly, you know, any excuse or reason that prompts us to be very intentional with what we do in space, I think is a good thing. Any time that we reflect and look at ways that we can do any process better, how we can spend our money better, that's a good thing. So those are two things out of the way to me that are just sort of givens. But the thing that I really wanted to say was I don't understand why NASA is not more applauded in general for what it does accomplish, and why, you know, maybe your comment just covered it, but it seems to me, just as a person living in Oregon over here, that plane crashes are a huge deal, and we seem to be okay with hundreds of people losing their lives every year, and yet this miracle of going to another planet, which these guys pull off regularly, when they blow it, it's, you know, some national crisis. So I'm wondering if he can address that.
Yeah, those are all very good comments. I think the reason that the shuttle disaster touched us so deeply and people have paid so much attention over the last 7 months is precisely because the astronauts represent something in our imagination that we identify with in a different way than the... I mean, lives are lost for much less noble reasons all the time. So I think the fact that this has been such a focus of attention suggests how important continuing human spaceflight is to the American public. Now, there have to be positive reasons. As we've said earlier on, we have to at least give the sense we're going somewhere and not just going around in circles over and over again. So I think there's a future out there if the country chooses to follow it.
Thank you, Audrey.
Thank you.
And any last thoughts? Those are interesting last thoughts. You know, on the other hand, you say that these astronauts are heroes to us all and they represent the best of us, yet... Before the shuttle disaster, hardly anybody even knew they were ever up in space. They get no attention, the people in the International Space Station, only when they do something unusual. Does the news carry anything about them?
Like get married.
Exactly, like get married. I mean, it's sort of a dichotomy going on here.
Well, I mean, I said earlier, this has to be done on its own merit, not as public entertainment. It is true, on a day-by-day basis, we do not pay much attention to what's going on in space, and that's all right, as long as what's going on is valuable. But astronauts, when they're identified to the public, I've seen them go into classrooms in public settings, have this kind of golden aura around them. They do represent something in person that people relate to with a sense of excitement, and I don't think we want to lose that.
And there's also much more to NASA than humans in space.
Sure.
Yeah, and people don't think about the Hubble and the missions to the space probes and things like that that sort of get lost.
Exactly. I mean, less than half of NASA's budget is spent on human spaceflight. There is a comprehensive program of space science and earth science and aeronautics research that is of great value.
Well, John, thank you very much. We've run out of time, and we'll keep our ears open on Monday.
Okay.
Thanks a lot. John Loxton is member of the Columbia Accident Investigation Board and director of the Space Policy Institute at George Washington University's Elliott School of International Affairs in Washington, D.C.